We're going to continue our study of 1 John this morning, if you want to turn to 1 John. We're in chapter 3, and there's kind of last time we talked about Cain and Abel, and how Cain was a great example of hate, and how hate led to murder. And we saw that even Jesus says that it's the same to have hate in your heart as it is to murder. And so we talked about that. Now we're going to get an example of love. And who's the best example of love? Jesus, come on. This is the part of the service where we interact a little. And so this was an easy Sunday school answer. Who is the best example of love?
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate example of love. And so he's going to give us that example of love this morning. So now I want you to notice there's kind of a parallel between John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16. There's kind of a parallel. So I want you to notice it as we read it. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 says, "This is how we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. If anyone has this world's goods and sees a fellow believer in need, but withholds compassion from him, how does God's love reside in him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in truth and in action." So you can kind of see a parallel here. John 3:16 starts out with God so loved the world that he sent his only son. And now we're told that this is what love is. This is how we know love. This is how we experience love. And that is Jesus coming for our sin. So starting in verse 16, he says, "This is how we have come to know love." And this is love by experience. We've seen this a lot in this letter. John likes to write about his personal experience. Remember, all the way back to the first chapter of John, he says that he literally saw and could still picture in his mind Jesus. He literally heard and could still hear ringing in his ears the words of Jesus. He literally experienced Jesus. And so he's still leaning on that experience and telling us that love is about experiencing Jesus. We have come to experience Jesus. We come to know by our experience the love of Jesus. And he says, this is how he said he laid down his life for us. Now, there's something important in there. This Greek word that is translated laid down, this word is never used for something that's done to somebody. It's only used in the context of somebody doing something voluntarily, willingly. So he's telling us that Jesus came and willingly, voluntarily laid down his life for us. And the word life is literally whole self. It's the idea of the soul, which is the whole self in the Bible. So he laid down his whole self for us. That's how we know love. John's talked a lot about love in this book. In fact, it's probably rightly called the Book of Love. And he talks a lot about the love of God in this book. And he keeps telling us that we can experience it because he has experienced it. He knows what he's talking about here. He's telling us from experience that we can experience love. And he's telling us that love is the proof that we have experienced Christ. Having that love, the love that only comes from God in us and then through us to others, is our proof. It's the evidence that we have God's love, is when it comes to us and flows through us. So our example here, Jesus gave up himself, his whole self, willingly for us. He willingly gave up his whole self for us, and because of that sacrifice, because of his actions, we experience and therefore know what love truly is. We have a funny relationship with love in our society. We talk about it a lot around the middle of February, right? That Hallmark holiday, Valentine's Day. We talk about it a lot then, and it's all about hearts, and it's all about these cool words and everything, but John gives us an entirely different view of love, doesn't he? He gives us a love that is self-sacrificing. How did Jesus prove his love? He gave all of himself for us. All of himself. How did God prove his love? He sent Jesus, his one and only Son, to give all of himself for us. That's how we know love. So that's not the kind of thing that fits well in a Valentine's Day card. And it's not the kind of thing that honestly fits well in a song. You know, we have songs and paintings and all kinds of different media, all kinds of different avenues where we try and express love. This is what love is. Self-sacrificing love. That's what we've been given. And that's, he says, is what we should show, because he says we should also lay down our lives for the brethren, for the brothers and sisters, for fellow believers. We should lay down our lives. And this is present active tense. So this is an ongoing thing. So it's not a matter of, okay, well, I helped somebody last week, so I'm good this week. Check the box. Got to do more this week. Did that last week. No, this is an ongoing thing. So we are ongoing. We are present. We are always continuing to show love. Why? Because it's been given to us. You've heard me say it 100 times by now, but you are loved in order to be loving. That love is not just to be consumed by you, it's to be conveyed by you. You consume it and convey it to others, and that's the proof that you have received it. That's what John keeps telling us. That's what love is about. Our love should mimic the love of Christ. It should mimic Jesus's love. And so how exactly are we going to give up ourselves? Well, he doesn't give us a great example. John doesn't spell it out. Okay, here's your checklist. Write these things down and do these things. Why doesn't he do that? Because then we're about the list and not about love. We need to be about the love of God. We have received it. We need to transmit it. We are loved in order to be loving. And then he says, if anyone has the world's goods. Now, this is kind of an idiom in Greek. It's the stuff of the world. It's this stuff. Now, what's important about this is that it's the everyday stuff. And so he says, if we're not passing on everyday stuff, if we see somebody in need and we have all of the world's goods, we need to pass it on. And this is our everyday stuff. He's not saying that we should give out of our abundance. He's not saying, well, I have two, so I'll give you one of them. He's saying that we should give of our everyday to someone in need. Our everyday. Now, I will say that we can, doing this, we can be taken advantage of. We can be. I'm just being honest with you, you can be. But you need to have the right attitude about this, because whose is it anyway? If I got money in my pocket, it ain't mine. It's money God gave me. And money has no value until I trade it for something, until I give it to someone. It has no value. So if I have money in my pocket, which I'm a married guy, so I don't have money in my pocket, but if I had money in my pocket, then I have it in order to pass it on. That's what it's for. You're blessed in order to be a blessing. So we show love by giving what we need to give. We give self-sacrificially as Jesus did. We give. And he says, that the one who doesn't closes his heart or withholds compassion. This is the idea. James 1. You just preached James. James 2 or James 1 says, I think it's 2, says that we can't go by someone who is cold and hungry and say, be warm and be filled. And just keep going. That's not who we are. We show up. We have what we need and give self-sacrificially to those who need. That's who we are. Because our example is Christ. Our example is Christ. Did Christ withhold anything? No, not a thing. Does he today withhold anything from you? Not a thing. He gave his self, his whole self, and he still does. You ask, you receive. That's how God is. That's how Christ is. And so this idea of withholding compassion or closing your heart, I've talked about this from this platform before also, but we have the idea of the heart being the seat of the emotions, and we have it wrong. And once again, you think about Valentine's Day, you think about, you know, lovely cards with hearts on them and all these things. We draw hearts on windows. We have all this stuff about hearts, but in the Jewish mind and in the Greek mind, the heart is the center of the will. It's the center of the moral judgment. The center of the emotions is the belly. In fact, Jesus even, or Paul even talks about, he tells the Philippian church that he longs for them with the bowels of Christ, as it says in the King James. That he longs for them emotionally. The stomach, that's where the emotions are for the Greek mind and for the Jewish mind. Now, I say we have it wrong because where do your emotions hurt you? Does your heart hurt or does your stomach hurt? We eat our emotions, or we don't eat at all when we're emotional. That they have it right. The seat of the emotions is the gut. And that's the idea here. It's shutting your guts to someone. It is having no emotion whatsoever. It's having no compassion. It's having no emotional reaction to seeing someone in need. And John says, if you have no emotion whatsoever when you see somebody in need, how does God's love abide in him? How can God's love abide in you if you have no emotion for somebody in need? If you see somebody in need and have no reaction whatsoever, then how can the love of God abide in you? Because what have you been given by the love of God? You've been given Christ, his whole self, sacrificed himself for you. So how can we not sacrifice some money or some food or some goods for somebody else? How can we not have an emotional reaction? Love, as John describes it, love is not only evidence of God's love in you, it is an action word. It is a verb. It's something done. It isn't something felt, which is what our society wants you to focus on. Our society wants you to focus on the emotion of love, how it feels. That's not love. Love, by its very nature, binds. Love, by its nature, self-sacrifices. Because love is from God. And God sacrificed for us. So that's how love works. So it's not some emotion. It is a decision of the heart. A decision to follow Christ and to love others with the love you've been given. That's love. And the last phrase, he says, how does God's love abide in him? Well, this brings up, we've talked about this before in this letter too, when he says God's love, is he talking about God's love for us, our love for God, or is he talking about God's love as a type? You know, there's this type of God's love. Which one of the three is he talking about here? How could this love abide in this person who has no emotion? Well, I think all three. I think all three are in order here. Because it is God's kind of love, which at the first part of this chapter, he told us is different than anything else we have in this world. It's different than any love between man. God's love's different. And then God's love comes to us, and it does its work in us, and then it goes from us to others. And so I think he's talking about God's love for us, our love for God, our love for others. I think he's talking about all three of these. And he says, let us not love in word or in speech, but in action and in truth. Love is a verb. It's something done. It's something shown. If you never do anything for your spouse to show them you love them, how are they supposed to know you do? We do things to show love. It's the same with each other in Christ. We do things for each other because we love each other. Because the love of God has come in us, done its work in us, and now goes from us to others. That it's completed its cycle. That's the cycle. And he specifically says action, but he also says truth. Well, what is the truth? This is an easy one again. What is the truth? Jesus. He said so himself, right? He said so himself in John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So he said he's the truth. We can only love this kind of love if we are in Christ. Because we only have the self-sacrificing love of God if we are in Christ. So you see how this all works? We accept Christ, that he died for our sin. Not for sin as a general concept. Not for sin so that God can, so that he can heal the relationship between sin and God. No, sin is not going to heaven. He sent his son and died on the cross so that you and I can have a relationship with God, to heal that relationship. He died so that you and I can go to heaven. So it isn't sin as a concept, it's your sin, my sin. That's who he came for. That's who he died for. And so that's the kind of love we have been shown. And so that's the kind of love we show. Love is self-sacrificing because true love comes from Christ. Do you know the love of Christ? Does it show in your life? That's the question I must ask. I'm going to ask that you bow your heads. Do you know the love of Christ? Because you can. You can accept it today. It's a simple prayer. You can just follow along with me in your own words and say, God, I know I have sin in my life. I've done things wrong. I've thought things wrong. I've said things wrong. And I know the Bible calls that sin. But I choose to trust that Jesus died on that cross to pay my price. To pay the price I owe Jesus came. And so I ask you to forgive me because of his finished work on the cross. And I ask you to come into my life. Empower me with your love. If you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, you need to let somebody know. Come and let me know. Elbow your neighbor. Let them know. Maybe this morning you look back at your last week. Hasn't been about Christ. Hasn't been about love. It's easy in our current world to get caught up in hate. Easy. Will you choose love? Take this moment right now and make that commitment to God. Father, we thank you for this, your word. We thank you for your love. And we thank you for the reminder that your love is not just to be consumed, it's to be conveyed. That we are to love others as you love us. Keep us mindful of this as we go through this week. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.